The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on June 22, 1981 in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 4, Text 14, Part 1.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunnavadhi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam namaskritya narang chayeva narottamam devim sarasatim abhyasam atato jaya mudiyajet mukha karoti vachalam pangulam gayate girin at kripa tamaham bande sri gurum ninatarinam yat kripa tamaham bande sri gurum ninatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Iswaram. Ajanu Lambita Bhuja Kanaka Vadato Sankirtanaika Pitaro Kamalaya Taksho.
Jai. Text 14, Chapter 4, Canto 1. Of the Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuranam. Suta
Uvacha
Dvapare
Samanupapte
Tritiye
Yuga
Paraye
Jata
Parasarad
Yogi
Vasavyam
Kalaya
Hare.
Suta
Uvacha
Dvapare
Samanuprapte
Tritiye
Yuga
Paryaye
Jata Parasarad
Yogi
Vasavyam
Kalaya Hare.
Suta Uvacha
Dvapare
Samanuprapte
Tritiye
Yuga
Paraye
Jatha Parasarad
Yogi
Vasavyam
Kalaya
Hare.
Suta.
Suta
Goswami.
Uvacha.
Said.
Dvapare.
In the second millennium.
Samanuprapte.
And the advent of.
Tritiye.
Third.
Yuga.
Millennium.
Paraye.
In the place of.
Jata.
Was begotten.
Parasarat,
by Parasara,
Yogi,
the great sage,
Vasavyam,
in the womb
of
the daughter
of
Vasu,
Kalaya, in the plenary portion. Hare, of the personality of Godhead. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Suta Goswami said, when the second millennium overlapped, the third, the great sage Vyasadeva was born to Parasura in the womb of Satyavati, the daughter of Vasu. Translation with repetition. Suta Goswami said, when the second millennium overlapped the third, the great sage Vyasadeva was born to Parasura in the womb of Satyavati, the daughter of Vasu. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There is a chronological order of the four millenniums, namely Satya, Dwarpar, Treta, and Kali. But sometimes there is overlapping. During the regime of Vaivaswata Manu, there was an overlapping of the 28th round of the four millenniums. And the third millennium appeared prior to the second. In that particular millennium, Lord Sri Krishna also descends. And because of this, there was some particular alteration. The mother of the great sage was Satyavati, the daughter of the Vasu, fisherman, and the father was the great Parasara Muni. That is the history of Vyasadeva's birth. Every millennium is divided into three periods, and each period is called a Sandhya. Vyasadeva appeared in the third Sandhya of that particular age. Thus, in the purport by Srila Prabhupada, of Canto 1, Chapter 4, Text 14 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, this is describing the appearance of Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is an incarnation of Hari, of the personality of Godhead. He comes down for the purpose of compiling and writing the Vedic literatures. Before, it was not necessary to write them because the people's memory was so clear and sharp that they would not forget whatever they heard. But in the Kali Yuga, he could see that people are short-lived, unfortunate, and they have also a poor memory. Therefore, it is necessary to write down the Vedas in order to protect the culture and to give the people a chance to get back to home, back to Godhead. So he divided the one Veda into four, and then he also compiled the fifth Veda, the histories, the Puranas, and so on. So Vyasadeva, in this way, he is known as the original spiritual master because he is Krishna's expansion and because he has given us the Vedas, which are the source of all knowledge. In example, Srila Prabhupada once told us that actually the fact that people could simply remember what they heard is not so wonderful, because even he, about 70 years ago, or 50 years ago, he saw one instance where there was one two Britishers, they were arguing with each other, and there was one sage who was taking bath in the river, and they had a fight, and there was some violence, so a court case ensued, and so they called this sage as a witness. And the sage said that, "I know what they said, you see, but I don't know any English. I can only vibrate the sounds that I heard at that time." And then he perfectly vibrated the sounds that he heard when they were fighting. Although he didn't even know English, just he heard those sounds. And on that basis, the case was judged. So you can imagine what a sharp memory, as good as a tape recorder, or better. So that was just within recent history, what to speak of 5,000 years ago. But generally speaking, people forget from one day to the next. If you ask someone what he did exactly 1 week ago, at this time, of course for a devotee it's easy because at this time we do the same thing every day, generally speaking. But for regular people, it's very hard because they have no regulated life and they have no good memory. So Vyasadeva, knowing all these things, he had already planned to write the Vedas down. So there are always three things: sadhu, shastra, and guru. They are checks and balances. The basis is the shastra. Srila Prabhupada said the spiritual master is like a professor. Simply by reading shastra, it is difficult for one to come to a conclusion because they are so vast. Therefore, it is necessary to have also a professor who is expert. Just like Arjuna, when he quoted so many Vedic understandings about what he should do and shouldn't do, but ultimately he was confused. So it's not enough, it's not simply scholastic or pedantic or education through book reading that one can understand what is the purpose of the Vedas. To really clear the doubts, one also needs a spiritual master. But the spiritual master, just like Krishna, when he was preaching to Arjuna, he would always quote the previous authorities and the Vedas. Just like he said, proktam ahamabhyayam, that before this was also spoken. Not that Krishna was, although he is himself, aham sarvasya bhava, is the source of everything. Mata paratrang nanyat, there's no higher truth than him. Still, he's referring to higher authorities. Higher authorities mean previous authorities. That is to instruct us that this is the Vedic system. No one is independent. Even Krishna himself is referring to Vedas. Why? Because he's given the Vedas for that purpose, as a check, as a reference, that everything is supposed to be done according to the Vedas. Simply the spiritual master is like an expert lawyer or professor who knows spiritually what is the Vedas and who is practicing that particular part of the Vedic culture. You see. Therefore, he guides his disciples according to the Vedas to the path of God consciousness. So, when one wants to choose a spiritual master, then one will see what are the qualities in the Vedas, and then one will also discuss with the other saintly people, the sadhus, and then one can say, who is guru? One wants to know what is the meaning of the Vedas, one will read the Vedas but will not be able to understand, therefore approaches the guru and the sadhus and then understands the Vedas. One wants to know who is a saintly person. That can also be understood from the Vedas and from the spiritual master. What he is saying is correct or not. So in this way, these three are always there to give us some check and balance. So the basis, however, is the shastra. No one can say that the shastra we don't accept. If anyone says that, that is a great offense. Shastra is always the absolute position, because that is directly given by the incarnation of Krishna, Vyasadeva. And that is the basis. So everything must be guided according to sadhu, shastra, and guru, keeping the shastra in the forefront. This is the basic system. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, as soon as he came, he immediately started to translate shastra, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ishopanishad, Nectar of Devotion. Because books are the basis. This Krishna consciousness movement is not based on sentiment. It is based upon spiritual knowledge, upon Vedas, the books of knowledge, ancient knowledge which is coming down since the very creation itself. and has only been written 5,000 years ago, but before that was also existing in the ether in sound. So this is the very wonderful thing. People ask, how old is your religion, or how old is your culture? So we tell them, well, Bhagavad Gita was written 5,000 years ago, but actually it is sanatana. There's no beginning. There's no end. This is eternal religious principles. You see, especially those principles which are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Those principles are the same principles that are practiced in the spiritual sky. In other Vedas there may be sacrifices meant for elevation to heavenly planets. And when this universe is destroyed, also the heavenly planets are destroyed. But the topics about Krishna consciousness are never destroyed, because even when this universe is destroyed, one is again transferred back to the spiritual sky by the mercy of Krishna consciousness, of the pure devotees. So this material world is very difficult to cross over. Very difficult. But Krishna says, Mayamitang tarantite, mameva je prapadyante mayamitang tarantite. That one who takes shelter of me, easily I deliver him out of this material world. Mama mayam daradaya. Mameva je prapadyante mayamitang tarantite. That someone who takes shelter of me, I deliver him. This is Krishna's special mercy, that he is delivering those who take shelter. So how one takes shelter? This, of course, we see that when Krishna was personally present, he was demanding, sarva dharman parityaj mam ekam saranam vraja aham tam sarva papibhyo mokshyami ma sucha. That one completely surrender to Krishna and then one will be delivered. You see, but we also pray to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gaura Tushe Namo Nama. Why? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more merciful than even Krishna himself. Krishna was saying, you surrender unto me, I'll deliver you. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's giving pure love for Krishna. You see, very easily, simply by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and desiring to surrender to Krishna, simply by desiring perfection. It is like Srila Prabhupada said, that for the children, sometimes you have to give them the dessert first. And there's a big feast, the children want to first have the sandesh and the sweets. They're not patient to eat through all the sabjis and everything else, so first you have to give them a sweet, then you can go on to the sabjis. The children have a sweet tooth. So like that, here, Krishna has given us first the sweets, first the nectar, you see. Then after we are attracted to Krishna consciousness, after we are attracted to Krishna, develop some devotion, then we have come back and then further refinement is there, get rid of the anarthas. But first they're giving the sweet, that is some ecstasy from chanting, from association of Vaishnavas. Then after we're having some sweet, then we go back. Clean up our act, so to speak, clean up all the anarthas. And then we get permanently situated in that nectar of devotion. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is most kind. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't personally write any literature. All he wrote was the 8 slokas of the Shikashtaka, which you chant every morning. I wish I heard you chant. But he ordered his associates, like Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, to write Vedic literatures. And other devotees, like Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Pandit, others, he ordered them to preach and distribute those literatures. You see. So Srinivas Acharya, he was disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He's different from Srivas of the Panchatattva. He's known as Srivas Pandit, and this is Srinivas Acharya. You see, so he was the first one to bring all the books of the Goswamis to Bengal and to eastern states. And he was accompanied by Narottam Das Thakur and also by Shyamananda Pandit. Shyamananda Pandit was also a great devotee. He, at a very early age, he approached his mother and father and said that I want to take initiation from Hridaya Chaitanya Das. And of course, they had their mixed feelings, but overall they were very pleased that our son at such an early age has already decided that he wants to take spiritual master. So on his own choice, they allowed him. And he went to the ashram of Ambika, Kalna. Hridaya Chaitanya Das was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He's a disciple of Gauri Das Pandit. You know Gauri Das Pandit? Was Subal and Krishna Leela, the friend of Krishna. So he's famous because he demanded that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they have to stay with him because he wants to always talk with them and offer them foodstuff because they're his friends. And they said, if we stay here, what about all the other devotees? So then at least you have to give me a deity. And Lord Chaitanya said, well, how can I give you a deity in my presence? I am come here as a devotee, not as a lord. He said, I don't know all these things. You either have to stay here or leave your deity. Because he had a friendly relationship with Lord Chaitanya, so this type of affectionate dealings could be there. So Lord Chaitanya, he agreed, and they went and they constructed one deity, Amitai Gaur. Two deities, one pair. Life-size, 7 feet, beautiful, out of neem wood. One huge tree, and they carved these deities. So when that carving was finished, you see Nitai Gaur personally there while they're personally modeling for their carving. When it was finished, and he begged permission to please allow me to go. And then Subal, I mean Gauri Das Pandit, he said, no, you stay. Your deity is not different from you. Yes? They said, yes. Then let them go and you stay. So then Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they agreed, all right. They raised their arms and they became as if wood, you see. And the deities became movable and they walked off. And then Gauri Das Pandit, he ran after the moving forms and said, no, you stay, let them go. They said, all right. They raised their hand, the other deities, again, they became moving and they started walking off. Haribol, no, you must stay. You don't go. He said, all right. They raised their hands, became wooden appearance, and then again the other became movable and walked off. Again, no, please don't go. You stay. All right. He said, all right. Then finally the other ones are now again moving. He fell down and offered obeisance. All right. What can I do? You are the inconceivable Lord. So then, he installed those deities and was worshipping. And you see, Hridaya Chaitanya was his disciple. Hridaya Chaitanya used to be known as Hridaya Ananda. Hridaya means heart, Ananda, pleasure, bliss. So Hridaya Ananda was decided one day when Gauri Das Pandit was out for a little few days just visiting disciples, that on Gaur Purnima there should be a special festival. Or maybe it was his guru's birthday, I forget. On one of such occasion, he decided there should be a special festival. And so he told all the villagers to bring different type of rice and milk and sugar and gur and different things and have a big festival. Kirtan would be held. You see, Gauri Das Pandit, when he came back, he saw that already he heard about this plan. And he was outwardly angry, although inwardly he was pleased it was a good service, but no disciple should just do things without asking permission. That was his point. So he said that, no, cancel this program. You see, how can you do these things? You never consulted with me. You become independent. Next thing you'll do something unauthorized and you'll fall in Maya. One has to always follow the instructions of the Acharya, previous Acharyas. Very important to keep in line with the mood of previous Acharyas. So he didn't ask any permission. And this way he might do something later that was unauthorized. And this way Bodhidas Pandit was thinking, chastise him. So then Hridayananda simply went to the side of the Ganges and he was chanting japa, feeling very fallen for having offended his spiritual master. But in the meantime, so many boatloads are coming. This is right on the bank of the Ganges, south of Mayapur, just opposite from Santipur. Bullock carts, the different provisions start to pile up into a big mountain. And so then Gauridas Pandit said, what can we do? They're already coming. We tell all these people to bring back all these things not to give to Krishna. So he called Hridayananda and said, all right, have your festival. Harivo! Harivo! So then he had a huge kirtan by the side of the Ganges. And everyone was jumping in kirtan. It became so ecstatic. Spinning around and jumping. Dozen madrangas and kartals and literally 100 people. You see, in the meantime, Gauridas Pandit, he had prepared some prasad, some boga. He was bringing the boga in to offer to the Nitai Gauri deities. You see, when he went into the temple, there he looked. But Nitai Gauri were not there. Where's Nitai Gauri? Where's Nitai Gauri? Where have they gone? Kutai gelo Nitai Gauri? Where have they gone? He was astonished. The deities are not here. He ran out, looked everywhere. Where did the deities go? Someone stole them or what? And there he saw Hridayananda and his big kirtan party. And amongst the kirtan party, there were the deities, Nitai Gaur, dancing in kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jumping and dancing amongst the devotees, you see. But the other devotees, they couldn't even see the deities. Gauridas Pandit, he became furious. He picked up his stick and he ran after Nitai Gaur. He said, don't you try to cheat me, now you're going to run off again. You immediately get back in the temple now. Your prasadam is waiting. You see, Nitai Gaur, they saw him running with a stick, they became afraid. Lord Chaitanya immediately hid inside the heart of Hridayananda. You see, and that from that moment he became known as Hriday Chaitanya, because in his heart Chaitanya went. The Subhas said, don't hide, immediately get back in the temple. They all ran, the two, up, no one knowing what's going on. Subhas, he's running down with the stick and chasing, you know, they don't, because the others are not seeing Lord Chaitanya Nityananda. So they ran back in the temple, and then again they became visible to everyone, you see. And then Gauridas said, don't leave this temple again. Don't try to cheat me. How will I talk to? Who will I offer the prasad to? Who will I offer service to if you go away? How will I live? Don't you know that what this will do to me? You want to leave me all alone? And then he was very angry, you see, that his friends were doing this to him. You see, being so inconsiderate. Who can understand when Krishna and his friends are having these pastimes? Who can understand how some devotee can be connected with Krishna as a friend and not consider, friend means I don't consider that Krishna is superior to me. They consider Krishna is my friend. He's my equal. And just in pure love they're acting. Who can understand this type of relationship? You see, of course, some devotees are there with dasya, as servant, like Hanuman, and they always have fear and respect for the Lord. And then there's a rare devotee as a friend of Krishna, and doesn't have that fear. You see, so he didn't. He's only thinking, just like if some friend is running off, you see, without taking meal. How are you going off without taking your supper? Come on back! Sit down and eat first, like that, just a friend. So that was the mood of Gauridas Pandit with Lord Chaitanya. Who can but touch the lotus feet and meditate on the dust of his feet and pray that by his mercy we can get some pure Krishna consciousness to understand the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So this is Hridayananda, Hriday Chaitanya. So that Shyamananda, his previous name was Dukhi Krishna Das, sad servant of Krishna. I don't know why Dukhi, but I guess he was always in separation, so he was called Dukhi Krishna Das. But anyway, that was his name. He went to Hriday Chaitanya and fell at his feet and begged, please give me initiation. You see. So then Hriday Chaitanya initiated him, but very quickly he sent him with a letter to Vrindavana, to Jiva Goswami. and request that Jiva Goswami will please train him up in Radha Krishna worship in the science of Bhagavatam so he can preach here and then send him back. So, in this way, Shyamananda, he went to Vrindavana. Srinivasacharya, you know how he went to Vrindavan, it's a long story. He first went to Puri to find Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Chaitanya disappeared. And then he went and found Gadadhar Pandit, and Gadadhar Pandit didn't have a Bhagavatam, sent him back to Navadvip to get the Bhagavatam written. Again he came back, Gadadhar Pandit had disappeared. He almost died in separation. At that time, then again he went back to Vrindavan, to Navadvip. He was again shattered. Finally, he was told in dream to go to Vrindavan and meet Rupa and Sanatan. When he finally got to Vrindavan, they had also disappeared. There, Jiva Goswami was told by Rupa and Sanatan that he should take this Srinivas Acharya to Gopal Bhatta Goswami and should be initiated by him, and he should instruct him though. So in this way, Srinivas Acharya finally, he was in Vrindavan.